We're wrapping up today our series on asking for a friend. These questions that we have that we're afraid to ask for ourselves or whatever. And we've been through a pretty good journey on this, I think, talking about, is the Bible trustworthy? Can we trust it? I think we dealt with that one first so that we could use the Bible as a resource for the rest of them. I mean, that was the point of that. And then last week we talked about God's will. Can we know it? And we talked about money, all those different topics. Actually, suddenly I can't remember very many of them. But we did. This is number seven. And this week we're winding up with this idea of, does prayer really work? Does it actually work? And so I think today's is a combination of the last 2 weeks. Can we know God's will? And is my faith deep enough? Because it kind of pushes us to this last question, does prayer really work? Can we know God's will and understand God's will? And then how does that play a role in our faith and then our prayer life? Is it going to actually impact God's will? Does prayer actually work? This question was submitted in various forms. And I think, is my faith deep enough kind of lends its idea or its head towards that. So I just put it all in, all those questions in one pot. Like, does prayer really work? And I'm going to add some questions to that. I've had prayers that worked. Like, the thing that I asked for turned out to be the thing that happened. Have you ever had that? Like, where, like, the prayer was answered, like, exactly the way I was hoping it would turn out. I've also had prayers that were outright rejected. Like, windows closed on that, the doors closed, there's no going through that, like that is done, that prayer is over with, it's rejected. And then there's other prayers that have kind of just never been resolved. I prayed for it, nothing like negative or bad happened, it just kind of was like, well, maybe the timing's not right on that or whatever. How many of you experienced that? And if you're online, hit the chat, tell us about your experience of prayer. Have you seen that active in your life? Like, sometimes it works. Sometimes prayer actually works. Sometimes prayer doesn't seem to work. If we say it does work, then the opposite of that is it doesn't work, right? It just didn't work this time. But what we're really asking is this. If I put it down to its very core of what this question is, I think I might have put a slide for this. Do the words that I say out loud, and sometimes we don't pray out loud, so do the words I say out loud and or the words that I meditate in my heart actually produce some sort of result that impacts the physical world, or does it result in spiritual victory of some form or another? That's basically what we're asking, right? Is the words that I create, does it impact the physical world in one way or another, or does it result in spiritual victory? Does it work? Does it work? You know, when the pandemic started and everything shut down, like, we're coming up on a year of that. Can you believe it's been coming up on a year? Like, we're at 48 weeks now. Man, I'll be honest with you. Like, we said things like, well, don't operate out of fear and don't be scared. But I'll be honest, now that I look back on it, I was scared. But I wasn't really scared about the pandemic itself and getting sick for myself. Hey, I'll get sick. You know, like, at the time, I'm 42 years old and pretty healthy. I'll be all right. It'll suck, but I'll be all right, you know. Most of you are the same way. Like, I get sick. I don't want my parents to get sick. I don't want other people to get sick. But what I was scared about was the economy and the shutdown. Like, oh my gosh, everybody's going to lose their jobs. Like, how are we going to... How are things going to keep moving, and there's going to be so many other problems in life just because of the shutdown? I was a little scared of all the funerals that I might have to do. Just to be honest with you, I do a lot of funerals that are not connected to the church. I do a lot of funerals for funeral homes, and I feel like every time I do a funeral, like, it just takes a little bit more away of me, of who I am. They eat at me a little bit, and I was just worried, not... I guess that sounds really self-centered. Like, I was just worried that it would eat at me too much. But I was just worried about all these, just the funerals. You know, I, and if they would be you, God forbid, you know, or your family. I just didn't want to do those things. So during that early time in March, like, I would wake up at 3 a.m. and I would go out to the living room. I'd put a blanket on the floor. And I'm not telling you this to sound pious or whatever, because I've never done this before. And I did it through the summer, and I've not done it really since. But God just led me to go pray, and I'd just lay like this flat on the floor for 30-40 minutes just praying. And I pray for all of you by name, and for your jobs, and for your health, and for your families. I just prayed and prayed and prayed. How many of you probably prayed more during the early days of the pandemic? Some of you did. Okay. It's okay to admit it. Yeah, it's okay. I prayed a lot, and because I didn't want y'all to struggle. I was prayed for our church because I didn't want our staff members to have to lose their jobs. If you know me well enough, you know I'll go work at Home Depot. I don't care where I'll work, but I didn't want our staff to have to lose their incomes. But I was just kind of worried about those things. And guess what? Like, as far as I know, none of you lost your jobs. As far as I know. Like, there's a couple who just went back recently, but they were able to have assistance and things like that. Like, things didn't fall apart like that. I had a few extra funerals, but none of them were COVID-related. None of those things happened. And so I would kind of say my prayers actually worked. They worked, right? If we just do, here's the thing that I did, and here's the result, I could correlate the prayers worked. Would you agree with me with that? That, okay, I understand there's a lot more going on than just me saying words out loud or in my heart and then those things happening. I don't think I'm magic, okay? Let's not go down that road. All right, I believe that those prayers worked. But in June, then, we received words from some friends of ours. I've mentioned this family a few times. The husband's cancer had returned, and this time with a vengeance, and the prognosis wasn't good, and his wife said, "We're praying for a miracle." And I was like, "Well, that's what I do. I pray for miracles." And I think I have friends who also pray for miracles, so I do what I do best. I organize people, and I tried to get 40 people to start praying for a miracle, and I ended up with 350 over in a weekend. And like, just the thing exploded, and we did these wristbands, and so then every time all summer long I saw my wristband, I prayed for the guy. And I assumed that 350 other people were also praying every time they saw that wristband. But as the summer went on, the news actually kept getting worse and worse. Like, he's not doing well, he's not responding to any of the treatments. By fall, the doctor said, there's nothing else we can do. Medically speaking, there's no more treatment options. There's nothing left we can do. And I'm like, well, this is where God shows up, because we're praying for a miracle. And this is how miracles happen, when there's no earthly explanation for how this miracle happened. That's why it's called a miracle. Unfortunately, on Saturday, October 24th, I did my friend Pat's funeral. He died. Does prayer actually work? I tell you these things because I want you to know that I genuinely wrestle with this question. And I think I have some responses for you, but I wrestle with it, especially when that happened the way it happened. I've seen it work. And I'm a pastor, so I'm good at putting a spiritual explanation on the natural things that just occur. But at its core, do the words that come out of our mouths, the words that came out of my mouth, failed to deliver the intended outcome that I was praying for? It didn't result in the physical change of somebody else's outcome. And now, so I've prayed for that same family. I just pray differently than I did for them for those months. Do those prayers actually work? We'll find out. Back in December, our sister Danya sent me a text that I put out on the prayer chain. could you pray for my friend Chrissy, she said. You might know Chrissy. She lived in the Valley area. She's now in Texas. Some of you might know her. Chrissy was in the fight for her life because she had, I think, stage 4 multiple myeloma. All right, it's the same one that Sue Lehman had, if you guys know Sue Lehman. But same thing. Just before Christmas, she was diagnosed with the coronavirus, which quickly took her to ICU. And so then she spent weeks in ICU. And we all know now, if you have pre-existing conditions and immune system problems, you're not going to fare well with coronavirus. Add that to going to ICU, you don't come out. Just the way it is. The stats say it. So guess what? We prayed for a miracle. And we prayed for weeks. She was on 100% oxygen. Like, boy, this does not look good. This isn't going to turn out well. Well, guess what? Danya is now in Texas with her friend Chrissy at her home, helping her do rehab to get her to full strength and health so she can continue fighting her battle for cancer, against cancer. Does prayer actually work? Man, it sure seems like it. There's been several scientific studies profiled in secular publications, and I grabbed one out of Psychology Today. It talks about the overall effects of prayer on heart patients before, during, and after their surgeries. So they had 1,800 patients, which was a pretty large swath of the population. They all were told that they might be prayed for, but then some were prayed for, some weren't prayed for, some had varying degrees of being prayed for. But what was interesting was all of the people had the same recovery rates. Every single one of them. It was like whatever the average was, they all had it, whether being prayed for or not. Except for this, 18% of those who were being prayed for had further complications compared to 13% of those who were not being prayed for. Eesh. Ouch. That's not what we were expecting to hear, was it? Darn. This is very discouraging. Same publication had a study in the 1870s, the British royal family, the most prayed for family in the world at the time, because it was written into Anglican rule of the church that every Sunday when there was worship, they would pray for the royal family. So everybody in the country, if they went to church, prayed for the royal family, at least once a week. So they did a study like, well, they should be longer living, they ought to be healthier people. Obviously, they're already wealthier people, but yet they had the same death rates, same average lifespan, same kinds of health problems as everybody else, even though they were the most prayed for family on the globe. So does prayer actually work? I'm just full of bad news here, aren't I? Let's take a look at the Bible. We're going to see some stories. Here's what James chapter 5, verse 16 says about it. It says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it's working. Other versions say a little bit differently. On the end there of KJV would say, the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. So it works for you. But I like this. It's great power as it's working. There's power in prayer. There's power to do something. When you pray, there is power in it. But power to do what? Power for working what? What is it working to do, to accomplish? What is the power actually actively doing? What is the thing that you're hoping to have done? What is the outcome or the result of the prayer? And this is where we start to think about what does prayer really mean to you? And this is how these questions actually came to us. The first one is, does prayer actually change God? Is the outcome that we're trying to pursue, is it changing God's plan? We talked last week about God's sovereign will. Does our prayers change God's will? Does it change God? That's one. Two, does prayer change our circumstances and outcomes? The things that we expect to happen on a daily life, does prayer change our outcomes? And then lastly, does prayer change me? And we're going to go through these one by one. We'll use a little bit of scripture for each one. So Does prayer change God? Okay, very simple. No. No. It doesn't change God. And shame on us to think that any words that we might say, some kind of magical incantation, would just change God, as if we could change God. The only thing we change about God is our opinion of him. You know, that's just our perception. Malachi chapter 3 says, "For I, the Lord God, I do not change." James chapter 1, "Every good and perfect gift is from heaven above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation of shadow due to change." Numbers 23, "God is not man that he should lie, nor son of a man that he should change his mind." He doesn't do it. He doesn't change. But there is stories in the Bible, when you think of one specifically in Jonah, where it seems like God might have changed his mind. Story of Jonah is I'll just tell it quickly. God calls Jonah to go to the city of Nineveh to preach to them, tell them to repent, or they're getting the axe, right? Actually, he doesn't really say that. He says, "Preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me." So, of course, we know the story. Jonah runs away. He gets on a boat. Storm comes. The people on the ship are like, "Hey, who caused this? You know, who's in trouble here?" And they actually try to save Jonah, but Jonah volunteers. They pitch him over the side of the boat. He gets swallowed by a great fish. Inside the great fish, suddenly Jonah has a change of heart. Like, yeah, maybe I will go to Nineveh after all. It's called repentance. That's a change. He changes his heart, changes his actions. So he goes to Nineveh. He preaches through the city. As he walks through, he's like, "Hey, 40 more days, and you guys are getting wiped out." And that it actually works. The prayer or the preaching, imagine, preaching actually worked. People did what he said to do. And it got all the way up to the king. And the king was like, he declared an edict, like, "We're going to pray and fast, repent." And they did. They changed their ways. And then God said, I don't need to destroy the city. But Jonah went up and he wanted to watch the fireworks, right? So he goes up on a little hill to see this thing. And then he gets salty because God appears to have changed his mind. He just wanted to see the destruction. But here's what Jonah 3, verse 10 says. That God looked on their works, that they had repented of their sins. They had turned away from it. And the KJV translates it as, "God repented of the evil he was going to visit upon them, and he did not do it." So wait, God repented? That seems a little strange. Like, why would God change his way? Repentance is a turning away from one thing and turning towards another. So did their prayer of repentance change God? I think in this specific case, we look at the Hebrew, the word is translated as repentance in the KJV there. It also means comforted or eased. So God was comforted by the fact that they turned to him, and it eased his mind so he did not have to destroy them. R.C. Sproul says in the passage, I think he explains it better than I do, "When God hangs his sword of judgment over the people's heads and they repent and then he withholds his judgment, has he really changed his mind? The mind of God does not change, for God does not change. Things change. They change according to his sovereign will, which he exercises through secondary means and secondary activities. The prayer of his people is one of those means he uses to bring things to pass in his world." So if you ask me whether prayer changes things, I answer with an unhesitating yes. Prayer changes things, but doesn't change God. It changed the outcome for the people. And thanks be to God for that. Now, they were wiped out later. I mean, it happens later. God didn't change, but God did change the circumstances, the outcome for the people. And that leads us to the second question. Does prayer change outcomes and circumstances for people? And to this, I think we can say an unequivocal yes, and then if I were to write it again, I'd say, at times. And the proof on this is usually anecdotal. Our friend Barb Chapman, her husband had suffered a stroke several weeks back. They took him to Riverside, where she wasn't allowed to visit, and it was hard to get to Riverside from here. And so she wasn't allowed to be with them, and support him, encourage him. She got on FaceTime once with him, and she sent out a prayer request. Hey, can we pray that he could come back to Licking Memorial and go to rehab on the sixth floor? She says, but it's booked up, so if he doesn't go there, it's fine. He'll go to Mount Carmel East, the closer one, and he'll be on the first floor where I can at least visit in the window. Can you pray for that? I said, how about we pray for Licking Memorial? Well, a couple weeks went by. Licking Memorial was booked up. But guess where Chappie is right now? He's on the sixth floor at Licking Memorial, where Barb can go visit him for 4 hours a day and spend time with him and help him in his recovery. It changed the outcome. It didn't look like there's any way he's going to make it to that spot. So those kinds of things, it can be little incremental things that are hardly visible and hardly seen. But I think that's a moving a mountain for her. That's a big deal for her family right now. We see that little ones and big ones, and it depends on your perspective for where you are. I was thinking about the study that was done of those 1,800 heart patients. Now, I would assume, just because I know people who are of faith and who pray, that those people, even though they had the average recovery, people who were praying saw tiny little miracles all along the way in their loved ones' recovery. That's what we see when we're open to it. On a grander scale, think about how God provided food for the Israelites when they were in the wilderness in Exodus chapter 16. So they left Egypt where they had plenty of food to eat and things to drink, but they were slaves. And they escaped finally. They're out in the wilderness. Within 2-3 days of being out in the wilderness, they're like, hey, we're hungry. Let's go back. And so they pray to God. Moses prays, and God provides for them manna from heaven 6 days a week. They're supposed to get extra for the Sabbath. God provided a way out. He provided manna for them. He changed their situation. For me, tomorrow marks 7 years since my circumstances changed. I spent 2 weeks in ICU. I had a blood clot in my left arm that went from my shoulder to my elbow, the size of a hot dog. The whole way is that big. They used TPA. It's like a poison to thin your blood and clear that stuff, but they couldn't get it cleared. Eventually, I had to do surgery to remove a rib up here, so it's pinching on my clavicle and first rib. But that surgery, it sort of worked. I still got a blood clot, but it also pierced my lung. I had internal bleeding. None of this was known for a couple more days. Well, then on Saturday the 15th, they were like, oh my gosh, we got some severe problems here. Turns out I had like 10% chance of survival. Had to go in, put a bunch of drains in, you know. And even if I did survive, likely have to be on dialysis because my kidneys were in severe stress because I was lack of blood plus all the poison, you know. I'm saying, prayers of the people went up. Charity, you remember that. Some of you guys remember that. Prayers of the people went up, and there was good news, bad news, good news, bad news, but the prayer actually worked. Remember when I kind of came to, when I was awake, some of you guys know Jeff Smith, he's the chaplain there. He came to me and goes, medically, you being here, this is impossible. Like, this is not supposed to happen this way. And he said, you're a miracle. And then he said, don't waste it. Don't waste it. And I've used that as motivation to do what I do now. It took me a couple years to recover and to get back to normal, even though most of you say you'll never be normal, Dave. But I believe that God changed the outcome. I firmly believe it. God has been in the business of changing outcomes since the beginning. Look at Adam and Eve. They had one rule, that if they broke it, surely certain death. What was the one rule? You get all this food you can eat, but don't eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat that one, lest you surely die. What's the one thing they did? Right away. They ate the fruit. They went for it. And did God force them to eat it? No. Did God intervene so they wouldn't eat it? No. But he changed the outcome. The outcome should have been immediate death. But he provided another way. He gave them covering for their sin. There was a sheep that lost its life for their sin. A lamb that was slain. He changed the outcome for them. He changed the circumstances. He maybe delayed that eventual outcome. Again and again, we see this in the Bible. All signs point to certain defeat for David against the giant Goliath. God changed the outcome. Elijah should have been smoked by the prophets of Baal, but God changed the outcome. Gideon should have never gotten as far as he did, but God changed the outcome. The Apostle Paul was shipwrecked a couple of times. Once in the winter, he should have died, but God changed the outcome. That's what God does. He changes outcomes until he does it. Sometimes he doesn't. How do we answer why God doesn't change outcomes for some people? I think too often we take the blame on ourselves and assume that perhaps our faith was the problem. Well, my faith wasn't deep enough. I should have prayed a little bit more. I should have prayed harder. I should have believed more strongly. I should have said one more prayer. I should have done one more thing. And I think there's a strong case to be made from the teaching of the Bible and teachings of Jesus for persistence and constant prayer. But like I said, you don't change God. He doesn't change. So then the question becomes, why didn't God change the outcome for these certain people, for my friend Pat? Why didn't God intervene? I really struggle with that, and I'm just going to be honest with you and say, I don't know. I don't know. And if that's the genesis for the question of, does prayer really work, then I've got no answer for you, because I don't know. I don't know why the outcome has changed for some, but not for others. I don't know why a 10-year-old little boy and a 22-year-old young man from our town all die in car wrecks in the same weekend. And yet other car wrecks happen, people walk away. I don't know. I don't know why God changes some outcomes for some people, doesn't change for others. It's a mystery of our faith, and mysteries aren't a bad thing, but they are a difficult thing. I do know this, though. Even when God doesn't change an outcome, God can change people. Can prayer change people? Yes. Yes. But I'll not stand here for one second and say that God causes or allows these other things to happen so that you will change or so that something else will happen to a person. Some people take comfort in saying everything happens for a reason, or God has this mysterious plan to explain why something terrible has happened to other people and inspire themselves to change. God doesn't work that way. God doesn't cause those things or allow those things so that he can teach you a lesson or make you change. But God can redeem those situations so that his will is accomplished and despite those terrible circumstances. So please, church, set that language aside. When something terrible happens, don't say, it's God's plan. Or don't say, everything happens for a reason. That is not helpful for people, and it does a disservice to God's character. But prayer can undoubtedly change people. In fact, I think that's the primary role of prayer, to change people. Prayer is meant to be a tool for communication and communion. It's a relationship tool with God. Prayer isn't necessarily supposed to be to create your wish list, the cosmic Santa Claus, to get you the things that you want and the intended outcomes for you. That's not necessarily, it works that way sometimes. But its primary tool is relational. Its primary role, is relational. And as you grow in your relationship with God, it changes you. It doesn't change God. It can change outcomes, but it always changes you. Thomas Nelson Study Bible notes it, says this, "If we stay faithful to Him and continue to pray, in time He will bend our will to fit His. He will work in and through us to change our hearts. He will open our eyes to His work. He will give us the wisdom to recognize the perfection of His plan. He will loosen our grip on our own expectations." We see an example of this with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knows what He's about to face. He's had a Last Supper meal with the disciples in the upper room. They go out to the garden. He says, "Hey, pray with me for an hour." Well, they could fall asleep a couple times. But in Matthew's recorded, he's praying to God, and he knows what's about to happen. He says, "If it's possible, take this cup from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but Your will be done." And so that's exactly what Jesus did. His prayer changed His heart so that He'd be willing to go do what God had for Him to do. Jesus allowed His expectations to be changed. He allowed His will to be changed. Prayer actually worked. It worked. That same Psychology Today article that I mentioned before, it said prayer was ineffective for physical healing, according to the study, but they also said it has many other benefits. And it linked to the International Journal of Psychiatry and Medicine, an entry there that said, "Direct prayer, specifically with another person, showed significant improvement for people with severe anxiety and depression. And it should be considered as adjunct to standard medical care." Because prayer actually works. It works. It changes you. You got to give prayer a chance to work. It's vital to your life of discipleship and growth in the image of God. And when I was young, and when a lot of you were young, we had these things on the wall called telephones. And they had a cord that was attached, right? How many of you remember that? And if you were, like, depending on how old you were, but, like, some of us had a little wireless remote phone that always needed charged. But, like, it, you know, you could potentially take that to your room and talk to your girlfriend. I never had one, but you could potentially take that. Because if you're out in the kitchen where the phone is, and mom's doing the dishes, and your sibling is playing music, and there's all this commotion going on, you can't talk to the person effectively because there's too many distractions going on, right? You coveted that private time where you could just talk to the other person in solitude, and it was a give and take, right? You could actually hear what they were saying, and you could actually tell them things and repeat back and have a two-way conversation. Nowadays, that sort of thing is hard to do. For the younger crowd, when you make a TikTok, okay? No, I'm just kidding. But a TikTok only expresses one way. It doesn't come back, right? That's an issue with social media. You express out, and maybe the comments will come back to you. But it's not a two-way dialogue. Let's try FaceTime. You can do FaceTime, Google Hangouts, I don't know, something like that. Or maybe Snapchat Streaks, you know, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I know some of you, I've lost you. Wah, 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 what's he talking about now? Go back to the phone analogy. That was for you. All right, so the thing is, we need to create space for two-way communication. It's not just us sending our prayers to God. Here's my magical words of incantation to change the situation, to change God. No. Prayer is a two-way street. Most often, it's to change us. Prayer can actually work. Receiving the message back may be the most important part. Quieting yourself so that you can actually hear what God is saying to you so that you can respond appropriately. This week, as I mentioned, starts the season of Lent. And I'll be honest with you, I don't love Lent because it makes me give up things that I enjoy. mostly as a discipline, you know. But I do love those disciplines that I submit to on a Lenten journey, because it almost always makes me grow closer to God. Now, I like to use Lent as a season of prayer and preparation. And last year we talked about prayer during Lent in a Sunday morning messages, but we didn't have a practice for it. So this year, I'm going to have specific focal points of prayer that will help us to grow in the ways that I'm telling you about right now. You know, like, prayer actually works, and it always works to change you. So let's go on this journey together of prayer through Lent, where we can be a people on a journey of Christ's likeness. What we're going to do in this next series that starts this Sunday is actually our intro to the prayer series. We're going to look at prayers that were prayed in the Bible. The first one I think we're going to look at is Jonah's prayer. Then we're going to be at Nehemiah's prayer, Hannah's prayer, Mary's prayer, and then wrap up with Jesus' prayer. All of these prayers in the Bible that people actually prayed, and they had heart change, outcome change, different things that happened. There's specific like patterns in those prayers that we can adopt to pray in our lives as well. And as I mentioned at the top, like, you can get devotional texts 3 times a week, Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday, 6 a.m., 8 p.m. Also, the Zoom prayer, we're going to use the sermon to pray through. We're going to pray through the ideas from the sermon on Tuesday nights. Does that make sense? So I hope that you would join us on those things. We're going to do this as a body together, because I think, I'll speak for all of us and say, we believe that prayer works. Do we? Does prayer work? Does prayer actually work? It doesn't work to change God. It sometimes works to change situations, but it always works to change you. So let's go on this journey together. Let's pray. God, we thank you for just the gift of prayer, that we can actually speak to you, our holy God, that our lives can be impacted. We don't have to close our hearts or minds to things around us. We just open ourselves up to you, and through that two-way communication, we can interact to the world. Let us not isolate ourselves in thinking that we have the only ways, or like that we're smart enough, or we've been a Christian long enough, we got it all under control. Instead, humble us to be able to repent and turn away from old patterns and turn towards Christ-likeness by walking with you, especially in prayer. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.